Should we roll the eight ball to ask a question? It feels like that's tradition at this point in the show.
Absolutely. Please. Please grab it.
What's the question, Lindsay?
What do you want to ask? It's yours.
Oh, it's my question.
Question this time. Yeah.
Should we include this portion in the episode, and should we continue doing the eight ball practice?
Oh, I think we should always do the eight ball.
So let's take a look here.
Oh, I don't have my headphone in.
Well, put your headphones in, dude. Come on. Most likely.
Oh, thank goodness.
Great. There's your answer. Well, we're going to keep doing the eight ball questions. The eight ball questions as we oh, you got some struggles there. Well, as Lindsay detangles her headphone cables, welcome to the show. Welcome to Shoot Your Shot, the podcast about photography, where we answer your questions, DMs, comments, videos. If you want to send us videos, those are great too.
Love a video.
We are photographers, portrait photographers, wedding photographers. We've been in the industry for a combined 20 years, and we just want to help the community around
us. Timothy Musa. You can just call him Tim.
I'm Lindsay.
You can call me Lindsay.
We got some great questions for you today.
Oh,
for us. For
do
you,
we ever
answers? Lindsay, how's your week been? What's been good for you?
My week's been good. I feel like I've come a long way since the version of me we last saw on the pod. I was struggling last week
with what life. Okay.
You know, coming back from Vegas, I was a sleepy girl.
Yeah.
And I was out of routine. And anyone who knows me knows that I do not thrive out of routine.
Right.
I really love a routine.
Sure.
I couldn't have a single. There was no smoothies in Las Vegas.
No.
There was no hot yoga in Las Vegas.
No.
There was barely water in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
It's a desert, and I felt that in my bones.
It was a food desert in a lot of ways.
It was
too.
A food desert. As a vegetarian who sometimes eats fish, it was not a really stellar experience for me in the food realm. And you'd think that that should only really matter.
Like, there's food. It's just the food is
like
trash food.
Yeah, like just cheese sticks and nachos, where they were like, oh, well, like we can just take the meat off of them if you want.
That's
like,
vegetarian, right?
No,
if you just take the food off and it's just cheese and bread.
I was just hoping for a salad.
Yeah.
But then they were like, how about ranch, bacon, blue cheese, like all of the things. So anyways, I'm not trying to tell you I'm like a picture of health, but certainly I struggled in Las Vegas, and then coming home, I was just like in an energy deficit in many ways, and trying to get back in to the habit after you've been away and your habits have gone, while also trying to get caught up on 5,000 emails and business things. I just struggled last week. And, you know, that like look good, feel good situation when your face is like completely broken out and you're like, this is not nice.
Yeah.
And, it was a look bad, feel bad situation. So anyways, I'm feeling good, baby.
She's
the rosacea, she's going away. She's doing the hot yoga.
Yep.
She's eating living, well, laughing, loving, eating vegetables, drinking the water, and not living inside of a trade show for 6 days.
One last thing we'll say about Vegas is this past year in 2024, it was hosted at the Mirage. And next year they're hosting it at the Rio, which is a bit of a hike.
Did we talk about that?
I don't know.
We might have already, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, but it is going to be at the Rio.
Good news for us. I think we might be bringing the show there, maybe, perhaps.
I think we are bringing the show there.
Fantastic.
I think you might see Shoot Your Shot on the road. We'll see how that goes. But how was your week, Timothy?
It was also similar. It was a lot of like catching up, cleaning, and then trying to feel like a human being who's complete again with a routine, with food that's proper, with enough water in my life.
And you didn't travel with your partner, so you're trying to like catch up on being a good partner again. Whereas like Taylor and I were in Vegas, I was like, get away from me when I came home. I was like, I need you to leave me alone.
Space.
In fact. Speaking of space, great shirt today.
Thank you. Yeah, if you're not aware, we're also on YouTube. You can find us.
Oh yeah, sorry to the people that are listening. You're missing out on Tim's really fantastic shirt. Here, I'll describe it for you.
Thank you.
It's black, like space, and then it has like a bunch of little space people. In,
astronauts, I'd say.
That's what they're called. Yeah, I was trying to. Well, I was going to say a spaceman.
Okay.
And then I was like, that's not gender inclusive.
No, it's not.
So they're astronauts, and then there's planets and little dots that probably are supposed to be stars.
It's interesting that it's in a very grid pattern, because I feel like the universe is not
Yeah, that's not how the universe works, but that's definitely how H&M works. Or where is this from?
This is from Winners.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, they just have to take a big old stamp and make it look uniform across a bunch of fabric. And that's what you got. But it does look. Oh, I just saw that there's a little earth up there on your shoulder. Little tiny earth.
Yeah.
That's cute. We all love space. So let's get into the show.
So yeah, one more thing about that. If you're listening, we're inclusive to tell you, like we just did, descriptive audio as much as we can. If you're watching, you get the full experience. So head on over to YouTube if you want to check out the show and see what we look like, and also read the clients' questions. That was a Freudian slip.
These are our clients. Wait, did you tell us enough about your week? I feel like we went into space. Tell us about your week.
It was a lot of cleaning and getting back into order. There was nothing really specific that was interesting. It honestly went by really quickly. So
okay, at least
happy to be back.
I didn't cut off your fun story.
No, you didn't miss anything cool. Let's jump into the questions, shall we?
I'd love to.
This question comes to us from a friend of the show, Jacob Clark. He's a good boy. He lives in Alberta. He's a photographer.
Alberta boy.
And the question is client red flags. It's more of a statement, really. But
with a question mark attached.
Yeah. How much time do you have, Jacob? Because having done this for a while, I think we've discovered quite a few red flags that come up earlier and earlier.
Let's give some context to Jacob, our friend Jacob. Yep. So Jacob... I love the position that Jacob's in right now.
Okay.
He's in like, what I picture would be the cheat codes of wedding photography.
Okay.
So Jacob has been in the photo video space for many years. He was working as, I'm going to come up with a title. I don't actually know what it was, but I'm going to say like creative director at a, commercial video production company that has worked with massive brands, car brands, all kinds of different brands. Mm-hmm. And in the last year, he has decided he's going to venture out on his own and get more into doing just wedding photography.
Yeah.
Which we love for him. We always love when our friends decide to make themselves money instead of to make somebody else money. That's always fun.
It's the best.
You know, oh, I would love for you to build your own wealth instead of some jabroni and I don't know. And I'm sure his past employers were not jabronis, but they were definitely making money off of our dear friend Jacob's talent.
Yeah.
As all employers do.
That's what they do.
But Jacob's now going to make money on his own talent, and we love that for him. But Jacob has been also involved in the wedding space. He has worked closely with Canon, and he's worked closely with you and Taylor. Yep. He's been friends with lots of really talented photographers. But this will be sort of his first, like, I'm doing this going full
launching
in.
Launching 2 feet
on,
in.
Yeah. And his new website's on the way. Yep. I'm super excited for that. He's getting a new focal website.
Yep.
And now Jakey Boy is in the position of having to meet some new clients and trying to determine how do I know
so
when they are
you
not for me.
Sadly, for the most part, when you're starting out, you don't know until you find out
the hard way
in real life.
In real time.
And there can be a lot of things that I think that's why he's asking like red flags specifically, because he wants to know before he gets to know.
There are some specifics. What it's like.
There's some things to look forward to. One thing I will say.
Look forward to
learning the hard way. But also one thing I learned from Taylor is Taylor Jackson, fantastic local photographer.
We know him. Yeah.
He has this theory about emails. When there's more than a double digit number of emails back and forth, he feels like that's a bit of a red flag.
Honestly, my experience, so factual.
Yeah.
Super factual. I've never had a really stellar experience with a client when we get into the dozens of emails.
Yeah.
Before a booking.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Before a booking. Like,
yikes. You know?
I understand if you want to go back and forth and there's like a lot of revisions or like something like COVID happens, you have to go back and forth and like determine, you know, what the course of the day is going to look like because there's schedule changes or like there's...
Things happen.
Things can happen. I understand that. But before they booked you and signed and paid, if there's double digit emails back and forth, that person just doesn't know how to decide or they've already decided and they want to look for a reason to not book you, which is something that happens a lot. You know, people will try to qualify and talk themselves out of working with you, whether that's because of budget, whether that's because of, you know, location or the fact that they just maybe don't want to get married. Like there's so many factors that go into even being decision making, that, it sucks to be like the guinea pig or the sharp end of that stick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I understand that. And, to sort of and one onto that.
And one.
I would say whenever your, normal processes aren't following, like whenever a client is not following your normal processes,
yes.
I don't want to say like immediate red flag, they're not following my processes.
Right.
Like there's always qualifiers and Taylor, honestly, when he was booking like 50, 60 weddings a year, he just didn't have time for nonsense back and forth. So he'd be like, red flag.
Yeah.
And sometimes things that we think are red flags are actually just people that it's their personality type
sure.
to maybe need a little bit more help
yeah.
to maybe need things to go a little bit differently for them. Mm-hmm. But when people are constantly pushing your buttons and you have firm boundaries in place and they're still saying no. So here's a really interesting one.
Hit it.
One of my, I would say rules,
okay.
boundaries that I have, I guess not a rule, but a boundary is that yeah. I do not text with my clients.
Okay.
I do not text with them.
No texting.
There are too many communication streams for people. Email, Instagram message, Facebook Messenger, like
sure.
a DM through your business
WhatsApp.
Page, whatever, right?
Sure.
From the booking, like from the very first time that they reach out, the inquiry process, up until me delivering their photos mm-hmm. and us like ending our relationship in that capacity.
Yeah.
There has to be some streamlined process. And I would want as a client to know that my vendors know what their best streamlined process is for
yes.
their best success.
Exactly.
And if you don't, you're maybe not dealing with a 100% professional person. You're dealing with a person that is new to the industry mm-hmm. and is sort of going on, oh, well, what would you like? Would you like to text? Do you want to call? In the inquiry phase, I will maybe mess around with that a little bit because we're trying to connect in the fastest way possible.
Right.
What's the way that makes the best sense for you?
Yeah.
In that phase, that's a really good time for you to tell your clients, by the way, like I communicate best by email. And if we do need to have a further conversation, let's have a call. Like let's set up a consultation,
love
a video call
yep.
something. When you put that boundary in place and it's being constantly poked at mm-hmm. and like just a little bit, yeah, I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
That's a red flag for me because I think it comes down to a lack of respect for
personal
how you
boundaries.
Run your business.
Yeah.
And it also comes down to like, do you want me to screw something up?
Mm.
Do you
mm-hmm.
want me to burn out?
Mm-hmm.
These are the real things. Those are real implications of things that
yeah,
happen.
Having too many different streams of communication, like you said, is a full-time job mm-hmm. to keep those together and to keep them amalgamated in a way that makes sense. Because
yeah.
often I will use my email as like a catch-all for all the information, all the back and forth I've had
yes.
with a client or a couple.
If you need to look
like,
something up,
I have to reference something. It's definitely in an email, 100% of the time.
And
90%
if,
of the time.
If somebody's talking about a
yeah,
timeline,
exactly,
they decide they're going to text you about it. You're like,
don't.
I would really love if you don't do that
yeah.
because here's the only exception to the rule for me. I love this.
Okay.
Sometimes my clients will text me and be like, "Hi, I'm wedding dress shopping."
Yeah.
And what do you think of these three dresses?
Yeah.
By all means, babe, text me.
Yeah.
By all means.
Yeah. Send me
I love
thing.
That. I want to know.
Yeah.
If it's a timely thing that doesn't require any more future effort from me on that, right? Like if there's not anything more that's to be expected of me mm-hmm. out of that conversation, then by all means, a quick text message is fine. I don't want it to be on a Sunday night at 10 p.m. That's not ideal for me. But
no.
if it's like a Tuesday afternoon and you're out shopping with
yep.
your friends, and you can even like give me a heads up, hey, by email, hey, I'm going to be out wedding dress shopping. Do you mind if I send you some photos? And this actually happens like fairly often. People know that I love a little fashion moment. And I think that people also want to know how will this photograph, right? Especially with like dresses that maybe have an undertone or
doing a lot of
shimmer.
Walking or something. Or,
yeah, it's usually less like that and it's more about color. And
oh, really?
Like how's
okay.
this going to photograph?
Interesting.
Do you think this looks okay on my skin tone?
Yeah. I was thinking if they go to like a Laura Mill and they want to go down to the gorge and they're wearing like a really
Will this
thick,
down work?
Like, it will not. You cannot walk
yeah,
unless you're just walking from the knees.
I mean, we can always give it a go.
Yeah. You want to rip it? Let's do it.
Yeah. But it's more so for the dresses that are like really glittery
right.
or they're not quite as common now. And I really loved them. But the phase where we went through like a different colored under like
mm-hmm.
lining, like a mauve or like champagne is still really common.
Yeah.
But we were getting into like some colored things and people would text me and be like, hey,
yeah.
is this going to show up? And I'm like, well, generally, if you're listening to this, it's probably going to show up. If you take a picture of it on your phone and it shows up, it will. And if you take
probably.
A picture of it on your phone and it's not showing up, it's probably not going to.
Yeah. So
I
communication through
text message.
Anything other than
I'm
email
like
for
fine
you.
With that, but that's
yeah.
a big, that's a really big red flag for me.
Okay.
I would say the other one is when they inquire through multiple different things.
Like DM you or they send you a text?
Yeah, like I'm really quick to respond to inquiries.
Okay.
So if I get a DM, the only if somebody DMs first and then they send me an email, I'm like, sick, you figured it out.
Yeah.
No problem.
There's no problem.
But if I get an email and then within 12 hours I get a text message and then somehow you find me on Wedding Wire.
That was going to be mine. That was my submission. Wedding Wire is a red flag for me.
Wedding Wire is an immediate red flag.
I never book anything off Wedding Wire. And I feel like, and no shade, weddings are a luxury experience. You want to get, you know, the most out of it you can. And you also want to save the most money. It's like anything
always price shopping though.
But they're 100%, without a doubt, always price shopping for the cheapest vendor that they can find on Wedding Wire. I've never booked anyone off Wedding Wire. If you're a couple watching this, quit it. Cut Wedding Wire out of your...
No, you know what I mean? Listen, like, there's no client watching this, Tim, because put this camera on me right now. I have a hot take on Wedding Wire. I don't believe there are any real clients on Wedding Wire.
You think it's all...
I think they're all bots.
Bots?
At this point, at this stage of the game,
okay,
3 to 5 years ago, there were still a few trickling around.
Yeah.
The only people that go on Wedding Wire now are people who are looking for reviews and to leave reviews.
Got it.
I do not think real clients exist on Wedding Wire anymore. Whoa. Those are my thoughts.
Where are we? Hot take! Shoving it that way. That's wild. I'm interested to know. We should start a documentary series about... I mean, there probably has been some controversy about Wedding Wire.
There's so many. If you're if you're a photographer who is interested in learning more about this, I implore you to please do a really quick Google search on Wedding Wire being a scam, because there are multiple lawsuits out against them right now from people who are claiming this exact statement that they're paying thousands of dollars for advertisement and finding out that there are no real clients existing on here. Do you know what? There are a ton of paid vendors, but a ton of paid vendors. And I got sucked into this early days. I liked to test out many different lead magnet strategies and Wedding Wire called me cold call one day and they gave me a really good pitch. Honestly, whoever that guy was, I hope he landed on his feet somewhere at a better company, because a really solid pitch made me actually convinced in a thing that I thought was a scam.
Yeah.
And turned out to be exactly that, a scam. Wow.
Okay.
The only thing that Wedding Wire ever got me, was more and more fake leads, like a ton of fake leads. And I can guarantee you that they're all fake leads, because the email address has never led back to anything real. Whoa. Like no one ever responded to anything. I could have come back and said, I will do your wedding for free, and I wouldn't have gotten a response. I tested out many things, so I can tell you for sure that these are not real. I think it works for people in certain
markets. Okay.
So I think in our market, we are simply not a Wedding Wire client market.
Yeah.
So I know that there's probably photographers specifically in the US that are going to be saying, wait, like I get lots of real leads. And I know that that is true.
Interesting.
But you are the exception. You are not the rule.
Got it.
And unfortunately, there are too many people that hear those stories of like, I made $200,000 on Wedding Wire last year. And so they believe that that's to be true. But Wedding Wire is a scam. And if you want, and honestly, their lawyers will never come for me, because I'm one of like hundreds of thousands of people with the same experience. So like, I'm not even concerned about getting like a cease and desist or slander.
Okay.
Because first of all, it's factual. And I have receipts to prove it. And second of all, they are so busy with so many lawsuits right now that I don't think that they're really caring about Shoot Your Shot. But for an alternative,
you should.
Work with a website company that cares about you getting leads.
Who would that be?
Work with maybe a company that cares about getting you good SEO.
I need a name.
There is a company that I know about called Focal that could be a really... There's something in the works. I'm not allowed to talk about it yet, but there is something in a beta phase that I am part of that made me $5,000 last week. So I'm just going to leave that there. But Focal, if you are interested in a website, you do have to have a website with Focal first in order for you to become part of this beta thing.
Got it.
So if you don't have a website with Focal yet,
get one.
That would be the first step. But yeah, I would say getting inquiries through weird little avenues would be your first. What's another oh no, I've gone too far into this process and now I'm finding out that they're a red flag, because it's not always in the inquiry phase.
I was going to mention first, I usually take a video call or a phone call with people.
Oh, okay.
And when they're referencing images of people who are also in my market,
yes.
Whether it's video, whether it's photo, they're like, we really like what this person did. Can you do that? And I'm like,
Especially if they cost more or less than you.
Are they booked? Are they, what's the deal? Like, if you really want this style of photography that you can clearly see is on my website, not my style of photography, why are we having this conversation? You're looking for someone to basically push a button for you. And that's great. I always want what I want to when it comes to purchasing services and things like that. But you have to understand, you're hiring me for, and Lindsay, for who we are and what we produce, not for what we could produce based on things that you like that we don't do. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
That's a super red flag for me.
That's a really big red flag. I actually had that happen to me. Well, it happens to me all the time, actually. So don't feel like if this just happens to you, like, oh, it only happens early days.
Yeah.
My most glaringly obvious one.
Go for it.
The client actually ended up apologizing afterwards.
Okay.
So first of all, she asked me to meet her at her house. Should have been my first red flag.
Interesting.
Why did I say yes to that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. So anyways, I drive out to this woman's home for our consultation.
Great.
And during the consultation, she is telling me about this photographer that she loves. She's in love with this photographer. She does film. And this was long before I did film. Like, I wasn't shooting on film. And, and she was like, this photographer has a similar style to yours on digital, but she also shoots film.
Great.
And this photographer was far more experienced than I was. Okay. And also probably cost double what I do.
Right.
Actually, you know who this photographer is? Rochelle Hunter. We love Rochelle.
Okay.
So, like, at the time, Rochelle was more experienced than I was. Yeah. Rochelle was one of those people that when I got started, I was like, hey, Rochelle, like, slay.
Yeah.
You're killing it.
Yeah.
And I was like, so no, I don't shoot film. Like, it's not in my wheelhouse. I think it's abundantly clear that it's not in my wheelhouse, because I've never ever talked about it or posted about it. Or
you do shoot film, but it's
now,
like,
no, now I do. This was years ago.
Oh, right.
This was years ago. Yeah. So now if a client asked me, now if a client asked me to shoot film, I would be like, for sure, let's do film on your wedding day. But this was before I didn't even own a film camera. Yeah. Like, I was probably only 4 years into the industry at that point. Like, it just wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
So I said no, unfortunately. And it wasn't one of those like, now, like, but no, I don't offer that, but I know somebody who does, right? It's not like with video. I can be like, oh, I don't do that. But it's sort of just a hard no.
Yeah.
And then she was like, okay, interesting. Then she just starts showing me this girl's work. And she's like, do you think that we can make photos that look like this? And I'm like, well, that's film. And she's like, what about this? And I'm like, well, it's either film or it's digital made to look like film, which is definitely not my editing style. Yeah. And I finally was like, I have a question. Why don't you hire her?
What'd she say?
And she was like, well, she's $7,000. And I was like charging $3,500 at the time.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, she's $7,000. And I was like, shit, well.
Get what you pay for, I guess. If you really want her,
she's go for your golden goose.
Yeah.
I don't want to be your
second rate golden goose.
I don't want to be almost there. I don't want to be almost there.
Yeah.
And I don't want to know that I'm dealing with a client who always wished that they had hired somebody else, but just didn't scrape together the funds for it.
Yeah.
And I understand how challenging that must be as a client.
Yeah.
But it's really a bad position to be in as a vendor. So I actually told her that it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
And I came back because she tried to hire me afterwards. She was like, I really loved meeting with you. And I just
wish I could say the same.
I just said, I don't think that I can make you happy.
Yeah.
And she came back and apologized and said, I realized like I probably maybe compared you to Rochelle too much. And like, I really am apologetic.
Maybe. Yeah.
And I think I probably said, oh no, it has nothing to do with Rochelle. I just feel like, you know, you're looking for a service that I don't offer.
And that's something that you will come across if you're new to photography or in the wedding industry. Like, trying to be something you're not will ultimately, in this case, it would have
ended up really hurt. It could have gone well. And who knows? I will never know because I did not go down that path. However,
I think you made the right choice.
You know, her even not wanting to meet me at the coffee shop that I usually meet at, her wanting me to come to her house, she's already, it's a power play.
Yeah.
It's already a power move. Yeah. Being like, come meet me on my turf. And then while you're on my turf, I'm going to tell you about the person I wish you were.
Yeah.
And
why I can't afford that
when
person.
These red flags come up, we can choose to not listen to them. And honestly, I choose to not listen to them at least once or twice a year for a fee. Mm-hmm. For a fee? I'll always ignore that little
happy,
yeah, these people are like literally United Nations of red flags. And I'm like, oh yeah. Like,
yeah.
I also like money though. So it's hard to say no.
And filling a calendar. Yeah. Lindsay, we give advice all the time on this podcast.
We sure do.
Where can someone go if they want more detailed advice about their business, how they're doing as a photographer? Is there somewhere they can go more in depth and learn from you?
I made an entire course for you.
Tell me about it.
I made a comprehensive course, over 6.5 hours of videos.
Amazing.
It includes digital downloads, including email templates, pricing guides. I've got like pretty much everything you need. If you were like, I'd like one business now, please. That's this one here. So for $279, Better Than Booked is pretty much the best deal you're gonna find, I think, on the internet for photography business education. But not only that, your girl's gonna give you $100 off as a listener of Shoot Your Shot using the promo code Shoot Your Shot.
All one word.
Shoot Your Shot. BetterThanBooked.com.
What's that website again?
Oh, it's BetterThanBooked.com. Most photographers fail not because they're not skilled, but because their mindset is wonky. Their mindset is lacking. They are missing the necessary skills to not just exist as a photographer, but to exist as a business owner who wants to thrive financially with a sustainable business.
Right.
Get into limiting beliefs, building habits, productivity, showing up authentically, community and competition. And then we also get into skill sets. Using the promo code
Shoot Your Shot
on www.betterthanbook.com.
I had another one for you and I had one in my head and it just went away, but I'm going to bring it up and you can keep talking while I think about it, because it was so good. I'm like, oh, that's such a good red flag. But you experienced this past week where someone got you on the phone for a commercial shoot
and they wanted
to not only hire you for their their corporate shoot, but they wanted to empower female-owned businesses. And the way that they chose to empower your female-owned business is to try and cut your rate by a bunch of money.
Because that's how you massive discount.
That is how you. That is really how.
That's listen, what I've heard. That's what
if you want to help a small business. Make sure you tell them you want to pay them less and pay them more in exposure dollars.
Because love to support.
That's going to work every time.
Love to support. Yeah, that was a really weird one.
Yeah.
Giant red flag.
Super big.
I was
super
like,
duper.
It couldn't be me. It literally will never. They initially reached out on Facebook.
Yeah.
That's usually my first red flag. If I'm being honest, if you reach out on Facebook, you're probably not my ideal client because I don't post on Facebook regularly. So that's really a weird avenue too. For you to find me.
Yeah.
I mean, I like cross post, but it's clearly from Instagram. Anyways, love that the marketing channel worked out because this person messaged me on Facebook and it was while we were away. Mm-hmm. And I'm like barely getting through my emails, never mind going through the many different. And there's also an autoresponse on my Facebook that says, hi, we don't
do things
check
here.
Our DMs, which that's the other thing. If you don't want to do these things, like make sure you tell people. You're not just like, I'm not responding here. So there's an auto response that comes up with my email and literally it just says copy and paste your message in. Like I'm not asking you to do anything crazy. Just paste it into an email for me, please. Mm-hmm. They didn't do that. And so to me, I was like, oh, they're just not that interested.
Not
a
that
week later, they did then figure it out.
Okay.
Came through in my inbox and said that they were interested in working together for a commercial shoot. And whenever a call starts out with a pitch, whenever a call starts out with, and like I do a fair amount of commercial photography. So a call starts out with like, hi, Lindsay. I got to come up with something more hypothetical because this person's going to really, and whatever, I'm just going to go for it. They're not going to listen to this. So they're like, hi, I want to let you know, like, we are a small boutique real estate firm. And the woman that owns it is an incredible woman. And she's telling me about her accolades. She has this award. She sits on the board of this thing. She's bringing together a really great group of people for this grand opening of her new real estate office. And I'm feeling like I'm being pitched to. I'm like, I don't need a realtor. So I don't know why she's calling me to tell me all of this. Like, listen, I don't need to be in love with your boss in order to shoot with them.
Yeah.
All that's required is a contract and money. Like, I'm not picky.
And not a volcano to shoot it. Like, somewhere safe.
Yeah. Like, it sounds nice. So I had already responded by email and I said, yes, I am available.
Okay.
Here's my hourly rate. Let me know if you'd like a contract and a
we
payment request
going.
Sent over.
Yeah.
And then they responded with, can we have a call? To which I was like, maybe they just want to have a call so they can tell me more about their event, and they're trying to decide how many hours of coverage that they need for it.
Common.
So we do have a little quick call, and on this call, she's then pitching me on her boss, and I'm like, this doesn't sound like my hourly rate. Yeah. Is happening. Like, this doesn't
sound... We're not at the stage of sales where, like, we're discussing what like, next steps are. Yeah. We're still at stage 0.5.
You're trying to pitch me on your boss.
Yeah.
She's like, you know, we're going to bring together a bunch of small businesses. And I'm like, oh, you're trying to tell me that you're going to open me up to some really great opportunities with your boss, which is a classic realtor move.
Yeah.
The realtors that I work with are not like this. They would refer me because they're gems of humans. Mm-hmm. They don't need anything in return. They just had a great experience with me doing their branding photos, and then they're going to refer me to their clients.
Exactly.
That's what a real boss babe does. Mm-hmm. That's what a real boss babe does. This person... And this is the other interesting thing. If you have a budget, lead with that.
Yeah.
Lead with that. Don't lead with your sales pitch. Lead with, we have a budget of X. Can you work with that?
Yeah.
Because honestly, I actually might have for this person. But the roundabout way in which we got there. Trying to manipulate
you and make you think like if you don't do this, you're hurting your business.
So then she goes, just so you know, like for the sake of transparency, my boss did just recently have headshots done, and she really liked the photographer. They're not in town, but they did come in quite a bit lower than your quote, by $200.
Which is not
and I was like,
crazy amount for a real estate agent, first of all.
I'm confused. Yeah. So I said, $200 for the whole quote or $200 an hour? And they were like, $200 an hour, but I was only quoting on like 2 hours. So like, I digress. It didn't end well. Didn't end well. And I saw the red flags every single step of the way.
Yeah.
But I can look past red flags for money on a Wednesday.
Sure.
One of the other things was that she kept on saying, it's a daytime event. It's a daytime event.
You know, I was you like, work at night, so that's
well,
what?
I was like, oh, well, like I'd actually, and this is a real thing, I would actually have to have moved someone that was already tentatively booked for a newborn shoot at that time. The baby's not born, okay? So like I could still move that client, but it would still be effort for me to move them.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, during the day? I was like, well, do you think I do newborn shoots at 10 o'clock at night? When would I do that? Of course it's during the day.
Yeah.
But I think she's just thinking, I'm doing you a favor by bringing this business to you. And when people give that energy off, it's an immediately red flag. Sometimes they are doing us favors, bringing us jobs. And it's always important to humble yourself and know, holy shit, this is a golden goose opportunity. Like if the city of Toronto comes to me and says, we've got tens of thousands of dollars of commercial jobs for you to quote on.
Yeah. Sounds great.
I'll bow down to whatever your process is.
Yeah.
You want me to pitch, you want me to do whatever, by all means, I'll do that. But
it's not always an immediate no. And you'll know, I think, the more you do this, the more you get into it. It's kind of a gut feeling mm-hmm. that you have. Like Lindsay mentioned, when she was on the phone with this person, they were pitching this boss, and it was like so outside the realm of what the service they needed provided by Lindsay was that it just felt like, I imagine it felt like, what are we doing here? What are you trying to sell me
on? I need to know. Like, it felt like I was being pitched on their services when I'm like, I'm trying to get to the part where I
get paid and do a job.
To take some pictures of a ribbon cutting ceremony. Like, we're not talking about anything. Like, anyways, that was definitely a red flag for me. I do want to say with some red flags, you can, get past them with being more firm with your communication and more clear with your own guidelines.
Yes.
Sometimes a red flag is that you're the red flag. Yeah. You haven't given your clients enough information. So they're just grasping at straws being like, hey, well, to meet, could you come to my house, I guess? Because I never sent her a calendar request.
There was no boundary.
Never said, here's where I meet. Would you like to meet at this time? Like maybe I wasn't clear enough, right? So sometimes it's our own faults that we weren't clear with them.
Clear as kind.
Yeah, I think it's very it's nice to be clear with our clients.
Yeah.
I had another good red flag. They keep on just coming and going. They just are coming.
Yeah.
And they're going just like people's red flags. I had a really good one. I can't think of mine again. Okay.
It's bothering me, but
here it is.
Okay.
And it's never not been true until this year.
Okay.
I think this is a different year.
Oh, I got mine.
So,
it came to you. Yeah.
Please. So, in the past, I was always very firm with my deposit structure, 50%.
Yep.
My bookings, when I was in the earlier days of this, were on average $3,000 to $5,000. Okay.
Okay.
So if someone didn't have 50% of that, that was concerning to me, because like we're out, like in some of these cases, I'm talking $1,500.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's what people are doing when they're dragging out that inquiry process, is that they're waiting until they have money.
Payday.
And I would really love for people to just remember that we're all human, and like Tim and I aren't just sitting on tens of thousands of dollars just chilling, waiting to be spent on a wedding.
Nah, dude.
That just doesn't happen. So I wish that our clients would remember that we are human. And I don't care if you maybe jumped the gun on the inquiry process because you were stoked and you found me and you were like, oh my gosh, I have to make this happen.
Yeah.
And then you were like, oh, I don't quite have 50%.
Right.
Just tell me that. Tell me that right up front. Do not make this a
game
yeah. where we play cat and mouse around. You're going to ask me 300 more questions until your next payday.
Yeah, no.
My worst red flag, and I still to this day am so proud of myself for seeing
was it, I here for it
and saying near. It would have been a few years ago, because it was when I was still charging like what I would consider my mid-level, like not quite, like I'm now in the what I think mid to luxury level wedding category. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
I was still shooting nice weddings, but I was charging like $3,000 to $5,000 instead of like 5 to 10.
Right.
So this client came to me, and I knew them personally. We had worked together at a restaurant. So okay. I knew a little bit about him. He was a little bit of a liar.
Got it.
He was also in sales.
Okay.
Not always a red flag, but could be. And mostly because I think when people are in sales, they're actually usually the best clients. Mm. They usually are very understanding of your processes, especially because I'm not a salesy person. I'm right. like, it's a take it or leave it situation.
Right.
So when they start to negotiate with me, I'm like, this isn't a car.
Yeah.
This isn't a used car. There's no negotiation. Like the price is the price. So this guy was like, well, I'm just really uncomfortable giving you that kind of money up front and have it be non-refundable.
Okay.
And I was like, well, that is terrifying to me, because this is not enough money to be afraid of it not being refundable for.
Yeah.
What about your wedding is feeling temporary?
Yeah.
Why do you feel Ooh. Like, why do you feel, and it was always him speaking to me.
Okay.
Which is also odd. But this man...
Did you say this to them? To him?
Oh, I told him it was a red flag. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't tell him it was weird that it was him speaking to me.
No, did you ask him like... Did you say like... Sorry.
What about your wedding feels temporary? Yeah. Yes, of course I did. I had to. Of course I did, Tim. Okay. You know me well enough.
I just want to make sure that everyone well is aware there wasn't just a thought in
your
head.
That wasn't just a thought. I said, why... Do you think that I won't be here? Or do you think you won't be here?
Yeah.
Which one of us won't be showing up?
Everything won't be here?
Which one of us is not? Which one of us do you think isn't showing up to your
wedding
day?
Putting on running shoes and going the opposite way. Yeah. What's happening here?
So he countered multiple times, said, okay. I'm willing to do 500 now, maybe 500 in a couple of months. I just wanted to say to him, either you don't have the money or you're not planning on getting married.
Yeah.
You are playing this little game with me, and either it's because you don't have the money, and I would prefer that. I prefer you just say that, and honestly, I might have considered messing with the timeline of deposit structure and whatnot, but you saying you are concerned about me not showing up and me having all this money of yours, that you're worried that like I'm not going to show up, or why is it non-refundable? And then he also was like, and I don't want to pay the final balance until after the wedding's happened.
Wow.
And then I was like,
bye.
Sayonara.
See you later.
And let me just tell you,
yeah,
that man never got married.
There it is.
There it is. That guy never got married, because I think that he was one of these guys that like, and not just guys, people, because mm-hmm. I see this actually maybe more so in women, the treadmill. We haven't talked about this.
The hedonic treadmill or
we
what?
We have not talked about the treadmill okay. on the podcast and the treadmill. Buckle up, babies. The treadmill is my favorite metaphor
okay.
for life. I talk about this all the time. Many times, especially A-type women in their 20s, get on a treadmill.
Okay.
In high school, you're like, okay, I really want to have nice friends,
yep.
get into a nice university or college, mm-hmm. Maybe have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever, right? That's nice. Then you get into said college university program. That's the next step. And you're just walking down this treadmill. Dun, 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 dun. You're like,
everyone's like, great job.
Yeah, people are cheering you
on. It's
like
a marathon. People on the sidelines paying you water. Like, you're doing great.
Yeah, like,
you
did this too. It's linear. Yes. It's linear. The plan is going forward. It's a completely linear process.
Train on tracks, baby.
There is no room for veering off because you are now following the path that's been set out for you by the expectations of your family and friends, by the expectations you put on yourself as a child, as a literal child.
You're practicing for it, playing house.
At 15 years old, you're telling yourself,
yes,
I'm going to get married, I'm going to buy a house, I'm going to have some kids, I'm going to have a really great job.
Prom dress and then wedding dress. That's how you see the clothing.
It happens so often.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why my entire first portfolio book of clients who were all roughly the same age as me are all divorced. And it's because they were all people that were high achievers, that were on a treadmill, that were just trying to check things off the list instead of putting it down, not even putting the tread to a stop, but like, let's stop going at 3.5 and bring it down to a 1.2 and look around.
And see what's going on here. Yeah.
Am I happy? Yeah. Do I enjoy this person? Or do I just want to get married because my 15-year-old self told me to marry the first nice guy?
Yeah.
And that's, I honestly think, what happened with this man.
Whoa.
He was an achiever. He was a striver.
Yeah.
And he found this first nice girl. And I think something in him told him that he would not be getting married. He had booked the venue.
That's wild.
Like, and I wanted to say, like, did the venue, like, not make you pay he probably
got them down to a price that was comfortable for him as well. So
no chance it was Whistle Bear.
No,
zero
chance. No, not
zero
a pearl property.
This is the other thing. There's venues that you know would never negotiate. So why are you expecting this person that you have known for years to negotiate? Yeah. That's bonkers to me.
That's another great piece of advice is, like, as a, you know, a sole business, as a person who runs your own business, Jacob, you are going to be seen to a lot of people as, and this is just tragic, as like someone who they can negotiate with and someone that they can take advantage of because you're, you know, what overheads do you have? Why would I treat you like a business? You don't have a brick and mortar. You don't have the things that these giant corporations have or medium-sized corporations have. So I can take advantage of you because I feel like, you know, you can afford it. Mm-hmm. And that's tragic. Because
we can actually afford it less, usually.
Truly.
We can usually afford nuances like that less than a giant corporation can. And you know why that is? Because giant corporations don't mess around with their policies.
No.
They don't mess around when it comes to their margins.
And they have redundancies a lot of the time.
Individual solopreneur business owners often think, what's the most amount of money I could, like, charge and feel like somebody will pay me?
Instead of
looking at things like, what's the amount that I need in order to thrive and make this sustainable? They're thinking like, well, do you think people will pay that? Like, do you think that's why I charged $3,000. That's why I charged that, because I thought
that's so much money.
Well,
will
do you think that people can afford that? Just because I was 22 and I couldn't afford it didn't mean other people couldn't.
Exactly.
Other people were looking at it like, damn, you know what the deal we just got with this photographer? Like, this, crazy.
So I wrote down my notes
on my hand.
Oh my
gosh, please tell me.
It says Gabe and it says dollar sign, because we did a workshop in Banff this past year. I'm so sorry you weren't there, Lindsay.
Oh,
sucks,
man.
You weren't there.
I didn't die or anything, by
no,
the way.
No, you were fine.
For everybody who knows, my dog needed surgery. But anyways.
He's fine now. Richard's great.
I miss the Gabe, though.
Gabe McClintock, he's the photographer who made shooting weddings in Iceland famous and amazing. He comes from a news background, and he was there at the workshop teaching how he sees light, how he poses couples. And it was beautiful and it was wonderful. It was Banff, gorgeous mountains all around, incredible trees, rivers, lakes, all the wildlife. We got to talking during one of his shoots because for me, I didn't need to go to build a portfolio. I need to go to learn from these people by just having simple conversations, like Fair, Two Man, and Gabe. Like, those are my, like, I can get these in a room for this much
crazy
money. That's
right?
Wild.
Yeah.
You can't get that deal anymore. That was a unicorn. I'll get to the point. The point is, we got to talking while people were taking photos, and we bonded over the fact that we both used to work at news. He was a journalist photographer, I was a videographer for CTV, And we got to talking about couples and wedding days and how it's so different from, like, you know, chasing blood to, like, chasing happy stories. And then something came up. I don't know where it came up from, but he said, yeah, one of the things I really don't like is when I'm the most expensive part of someone's wedding day. And that's
very scary.
So scary when you find that out, because I feel like, and this isn't true for everyone, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to put a blanket statement on this, but
Gabe is probably the most expensive part of a lot of people's wedding days, though, because he absolutely does a lot of elopements. So he's probably like the
This is how this came up. I was talking about the fact that, like, do you just do elopements or do you do a lot of, like, banquet halls and, like, mm-hmm. and he's normal like, weddings. I do, like, 50-50, honestly. I'm like, oh, that's great.
He would never know based on his very beautifully curated portfolio. But
I feel like that's what, you know, sets him apart and attracts the couples that he gets. And he says, and that's when it came up, being the most expensive thing on someone's wedding day can often, more often than not, mm-hmm. put a strain and a undue expectation on you as the wedding vendor.
100%.
To the point where, like, they are trying to squeeze so much blood from the stone.
Yeah.
Ambulance. Can you hear that?
It's a 5-alarm red flag.
Truly. They know about it.
You know what? You do too. I think that almost every single one of us has a story of a client that we took and we shot their wedding, and then we later found out that we were the thing that they thought was going to make them get featured in a magazine.
Yes. We have done that a few times.
We've done that a few times where people were like, hey, I hired, like, the team, you know, like, they hired Tim and I, and they think we are the reason why our clients get featured. No, my clients got featured because they spent $150,000 with Disney on a Disney cruise. Right. Okay. Like, get a grip. I didn't get them featured. They got themselves featured.
Yep.
Like, of course, I now have contacts at some really incredible magazines. Totally. I really have contacts at a lot of really, really great publications, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I cannot go to those publications with a classic golf club wedding without something truly exceptional. Remarkable. Either a story or images. Details. Crazy details that back that up.
Yeah.
So it is really scary when you are the most expensive part of someone's day, because they are holding all of their hopes and dreams of the outcome of their wedding on you. Actually, I hope that this isn't uncool, I'm talking about this, but Nicole Ashley had a really rough experience a couple of years ago. And I feel like it's probably kosher because it was all over TikTok. So, but there was a client that she had that had a really unrealistic expectation of what her wedding photos would look like.
Right.
And then when she got them back, which, by the way, I saw the photos and they were stunning. So, like, this woman truly needed to chill.
Yeah.
But she hired Nicole, who is a luxury vendor for a very DIY-ish kind of wedding day.
Yeah.
The bride was beautiful. The groom was very handsome. It's a very classic Nicole Ashley, like, gorgeous couple. So their portraits were stunning.
Yeah.
But she, from my experience, this is not coming from Nicole at all. This is totally my interpretation of it based on having seen the photos and seen this girl's TikToks. She had a completely unrealistic expectation of what her photos would look like because she hired the photographer.
Right.
So you kind of want to ask people in that getting to know you phase, like, what's your venue? Mm-hmm. Who's your florist?
Yep.
What's your vision for how this is going to go? I actually love when clients show me a Pinterest board so that I can see if the portraits that they're hoping for line up with their expectations and their reality.
Yep.
And it's not always easy to know that. Sometimes people send you a Pinterest board that's clearly a black tie wedding and they're having a backyard hootenanny.
What's that about?
You can't do anything about that.
No.
You can't do anything about that. You're like, well, let's take this as inspo then, you know. Unfortunately, sometimes you just find out the hard way that you have a client that's absolutely out to lunch. But Nicole was warned about this person from multiple people before she took them, from other vendors saying, hey, like, this person is a handful.
Yeah.
And Nicole was like, she seemed nice to me. And also, we all love a paycheck. So, you know, many of us have experiences like that. Thank God I've never had anybody get absolutely unhinged and, I don't know, drink a bottle of Jack and go on TikTok and go off. That's what seemed like happened with this woman. Like, I'm not saying that she was a drunk, but she did seem like not sober when she was doing this. Like, thank God none of my clients have roasted me publicly like that. Nicole did handle it like an absolute gem though. So, I think that's that for red flags.
I think
We did the whole episode on red flags. We did all of them on red flags.
47 minutes? Good grief.
Well, it was funny. This is our shortest question so far.
Yeah.
Client red flags. Question mark?
Three. I added the punctuation.
And stop. You did. I love that. And then, and when Tim brought that up, we have many good questions, and I'm really excited for the ones to come. We have so many good ones right now. Yeah. But we were like, oh, should we just do this and just riff on client red flags for a while? Yeah. All of that to say, I've thought people were going to be a red flag, and they were the gemmest of gems.
Almost every year wedding I go to, like Kelly, I'm really worried about this day. She's like, you're going to come home and say they were the nicest.
They were the
nicest
people. And we had the best experience. I hope that's true.
And then I leave and I pet the dog and I blow her a kiss and I head out the door and I come back 10 hours later. I'm like, they were the nicest people.
Yeah.
I stayed an extra half hour. I just love them. She's like, uh-huh.
I was dancing on the dance floor with them. Grandma and I are best friends.
Yeah. I cried at some point during speeches or dances.
The vows were so thoughtful and personal. And you're thinking, should we maybe tone it down on calling everything a red flag?
Probably. A lot more green flags out there than red flags. Just keep that in your heart.
Yeah, there's a ton of green flags when you're looking for them. It really just comes down to setting your boundaries up in a way that you know what your no-go line is. You're like, I don't pass this. So if you're not willing to meet me where I'm at, I can't really meet you where you're at.
What a great episode. Slay. Look at us.
You know, this felt like therapy. It felt really nice. Felt really good. We didn't even need to get into a second question because this one just felt so right.
If you have any questions and you want us to answer them or just talk about them like Jacob did here for this one,
red flags,
send us a DM on the Shoot Your Shot podcast on Instagram. You can also check us out on YouTube. Leave a comment there. We can get to the questions that way. And yeah, send us your DMs, send us your video notes, audio notes, whatever you want to do.
Can I make a request?
Oh, please.
I have an ask.
Do it.
If you're listening to this,
yes.
If you're watching this,
yes.
Please do us a little quickie, little solid.
Okay.
If you're on YouTube, hit the subscribe button.
Ooh.
Maybe a little like, maybe a little comment. Okay. We need some more engagement in order for us to get boosted. So we really thought that Shoot Your Shot podcast was like a super cute and unique thing. And actually, when we first got this 1 year ago, it was. And then somehow everybody was like, we also are the Shoot Your Shot podcast. There's some basketball podcasts. There's just interesting people that are actually not even doing their podcasts anymore. But when you try to look us up, we're
big ocean of podcasts.
We're so new. There are so many podcasts, and the best way for people to realize that we are the algorithm to realize that we're relevant is if you review us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a comment, a like, a subscribe on YouTube.
Love those stars. Love 5 stars. Spotify. We're
so
on everything.
Helpful for us if we're you on could. Everything. So take like 2 seconds if you can do that right now.
Be amazing.
It would make Tim and my day.
Jacob Clark did. He asked where can I review this when I made sure that he was chill with us using his name. And that's the other thing. If you have a question, comment, hot take you want to share with us and us to share it with the community at large, let us know if you're cool with being like anonymous or you want us to share your Instagram.
So when you share it, send us a voice note and then at the end of it say anonymous or feel free to use my name.
Yeah.
Because if you want to remain anonymous, we are totally 100% on board with that. But if you don't tell us you're okay with us using your name, we will assume that you are not.
Bingo. Right?
So give us a shout. We can't wait to hear from you. Another day, another dollar.
Another day, another dollar, buddy.
No,
are we doing that?
Yeah,
I'll give you this.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Toodles.
Bye, guys.